the House, Rabbi Yeshua Grunstein from Efrat, who heads up and one of the founding members of Amiel, which is a rabbinic housemanship training college. People who have smicha want to go and represent communities or take up positions in communities all over the world, ultimately learn skills at this particular institute. He's come out to be a scholar in residence in Perth over Shavuot. We're lucky to have him for the next few days. And in the 15 minutes we have until the second start, Rabbi Grunstein will address us on Yom Yerushalayim theme.
Hello to everyone. A good evening. I thank Rabbi Blackman very much for that introduction. It's also really a privilege to be here with you, and a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be part of such a beautiful davening that I was just privileged to be part of. It's a pleasure to see Rabbi Yonatan Sinclair, one of our graduates, bring such a wonderful crowd together with Hineni this evening. And it's really a pleasure to be here in the month of May and have winter weather outside. I have to admit, this is a first for me. But while it's a pleasure to be with you, it's also a very confusing experience to be with you as well. As Rabbi Blackman mentioned, I live in Efrat. So to celebrate Yom Yerushalayim for me is a very personal event. I actually live in part of those territories that were captured, and thank God the Jewish people prevailed on this day so many years ago. But why are you celebrating? What does Sydney, Australia have to do with the events that transpired on the 28th day of Iyar way back when? And the reason I'm asking this question is because of a very famous responsa of the Chatam Sofer. The Chatam Sofer decides to scream and yell and shout against a terrible celebration, in his opinion, called Lag BaOmer. And he says, where do we find this notion that all the Jewish people all of a sudden invent a new holiday and celebrate the death of a great scholar, but ultimately celebrate it in such a way? He heard from his friend, from his place in Frankfurt, that up in Meiron in Israel, they actually burn clothing, they have bonfires, and everything else we do on Lag BaOmer. And he says, it is absolutely against Jewish law to make a new holiday that has nothing to do with the majority of the Jewish people. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, very important individual, but not someone that impacted the Jewish people from his time and onwards. If the Chatam Sofer is right, then how come you're celebrating this evening here in Sydney, the day of the reunification of Yerushalayim, I would say the victory of the Six-Day War, and everything that went with it? This should be a very Israeli celebration, which should be celebrated by Israelis that are affected by it, and not necessarily by you. So why are we celebrating this evening? Is the Chatam Sofer correct to scream at us, or would he come here and feel comfortable? It's my humble opinion, Lag BaOmer aside, that the Chatam Sofer would have come here and felt very comfortable. And that is because of a very famous song you probably all know. As long as you were sober enough, you didn't say it long ago. As a matter of fact, if you were here in Sydney, you probably said it once, and you said it on the first of the two nights, and that's the Seder night. Right after we say Lashana Haba'a, the Yerushalayim, on the Seder night, what comes next? Uvechein vayehi b'chatzi alayla. And it was at midnight. And that famous piyut, that famous poem, goes on to say all the various miracles that happen at night. It happened to Avram, and to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, and whatnot. And as you know, the refrain is Vayehi b'chatzi alayla, and we kept on saying the words balayla, balayla, balayla. Nighttime is the theme of that song, and that's exactly the words that we say right after we say the words Lashana Haba b'Yerushalayim. So we say next year in Jerusalem, and a second later, all we keep saying is night, night, night. This famous tune or song is actually built off a very famous medrash. And I quote to you the medrash from Bamidbar Rabbah. Kol ha-nisim shena'asu li-Yisrael, all the miracles that God did to the Jewish people, balayla haya, it was at night. And the medrash goes on to say that all the various miracles that happened at night, and in that song we delineate them. For example, all the miracles of Purim started that night when Ahasuerus couldn't sleep. The seventh day of Pesach, the parting of the Sea of Reeds, once again at midnight. And onwards, the Medrash says, all the great miracles happened at night. What is night in our tradition? Night has always had the connotation of a time in which you don't expect anything good to happen. Or to be precise, you would have expected everything to remain the same because it's night. We usually work during daylight. It's seldom that we work when it's night. And therefore, every Friday night and Shabbos morning, we quote the famous verse, "La'agid baboker chazdecha ve'emunatcha b'leilot." During the day, I can see God's kindness because there's so much happening, there's so much productivity. But at night, all I have is faith because nothing really happens at night. As a matter of fact, night in Judaism means when everything seems gloomy, when everything seems lost, when everything seems like it's going down the drain. That's what night usually symbolizes. Except for one people. According to this Medrash, and of course according to that famous song after the Seder, night is the time when you least expected a miracle, that's when it happened. When you felt everything was going down the drain, then God all of a sudden changed the events. When you thought it was all lost, all of a sudden a speck of light came and things turned around. And ultimately, if that song is correct after the Seder night, if that Medrash indeed says all the miracles happen to the Jewish people at night, then you have all the reason to celebrate this evening in Sydney. Because the events of this day were totally unpredictable, were totally unexpected, and if I can use a dirty term, was totally abnormal. 3 weeks led up to this day, 3 weeks of tension and of fear. The leaders of Israel then hoped at best that we would come out of the war and have tens of thousands dead, and at least we should keep what we have. I was given to dig 10,000 mass graves in a park in Tel Aviv. I always thought this was a myth, but I have a aunt that lives across the street. She was alive in 1967, and she authenticated for me, and I quote, "They dug up the entire park, taking out the slides and the swings, because they thought 10,000 would die." In a book that came out about 2 years ago by Yehuda Avner, called The Prime Ministers, he says that Levi Eshkol quoted night after night during this 3 week period, "Jewish blood will spill like water during this war." Everything seemed lost. People were talking about going back to Auschwitz. There was absolutely no reason, logically, that we would have come out of this with our heads held high. And in just 6 days, in the height of darkness, a miracle occurred. And the miracle was quadrupled by the fact that we're not only celebrating the Savior of the Jewish people, but rather getting back the most holiest sites to the Jewish people, especially in Jerusalem. It's no secret that there were no plans to capture Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. As a matter of fact, the defense minister of then is quoted and requoted and requoted in almost every description of the war, and I quote his words. When they asked him, "Shall we go and capture the old city?" he said, "We don't need that Vatican." End quote. Everything that surrounds the Six-Day War is a story of night, a story of gloom, a story of a feeling that everything was lost, and all of a sudden, a speck of light came out of nowhere. And this has been the story of the Jewish people throughout history. As we said at the end of the Seder, "Az rov nisim iflet b'layla," just like you made merry miracles at night, and we go through the stories of the Tanakh, we can now add a story. Israel independence, against all odds, against everyone advising them against it, Israel declared independence, and it's still alive today. The Six-Day War, against all odds, with no intentions to go to war, with every single logical prediction saying we will lose, we came out victorious. And ultimately, when you celebrate in Sydney tonight, what I believe you're celebrating is what Jews celebrate in Israel and everywhere around the world. The celebration of God having a special relationship with the Jewish people. An abnormal relationship with the Jewish people. Doing these unpredictable and abnormal miracles time and time again. And in our very generation, we've seen two. The establishment of the State of Israel and the reunification of Jerusalem. And many more to come. This feeling of night will come again and again until the final redemption will come. And thank God, in the middle of the night there's a speck of light. And that speck of light is the miracle of today. So the celebration tonight is not so much an Israeli celebration. It's a celebration of Jews having a special relationship with God that looks out for the Jewish people time and time again. And thank God does these abnormal miracles for them. And always at night. And we, the Jewish people, in some way or another, actually keep to this logic in our observance of Jewish law. And I'll give you two very simple halachot, two very simple laws. God forbid someone passes away. You're at the gravesite. You just buried your loved one. What's the first words that should come out of your mouth? So if you would have asked me, I'd say, that is the height of darkness. What would be the first words you would say then? Probably something along the lines of, this is terrible. This is awful. Every human life comes to an end. Why is it worth living? What do we Jews do instead? The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the code of Jewish law, says explicitly, at that moment you say the words, Yitgadel v'yitkadesh shmei rabah. May God's name be great and be sanctified forever. In the height of darkness, you just buried your loved one, at that moment, you get up and you have hope. Second halacha, that unfortunately we have to keep until the Beit HaMikdash is built again. Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, according to the tradition of our sages, the first light that burnt down the temple was lit at the end of the day of the ninth of Av. It is at that moment, at the end of the day, that we don't increase our mourning, but rather decrease our mourning. If all day we're fasting, and we're not wearing non-leather shoes, and we're not learning Torah, there's one thing that changes at the very moment that a light was lit in the temple. When everything seems lost, we all of a sudden get up from the floor and do what? Return to sitting on a chair. At the moment when everything seemed terrible, it is the time on Tisha B'Av that the code of Jewish law allows us to start preparing for the meal after the fast. It is at that moment when everything seems lost that the parochet, the cover of the aron, is returned to its place. So it seems very clear that we Jews have a legacy. And that legacy is when everything seems lost, when everything is as dark as the night, that's when miracles occur. And therefore the celebration today is a celebration of the Jewish people who celebrate this special relationship with God and are privileged, time and again, when everything seems lost, to a speck of light. I don't think the most optimistic Jew in 1943 would have imagined in his wildest dreams that in the year 2013, in Sydney, Australia, Jews, young, old, ambitious Jews would be coming together and celebrating a miracle of any sort that God has done for the Jewish people. And indeed, here we are together tonight, celebrating coming out from darkness to light, once again, adding to that list after the Seder. It's my hope and it's my prayer that God link, as we continue through the various vicissitudes and challenges of history, we'll be able to have many more days like this. And indeed, what we said at the end of the Seder will come true. Right after we say, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim, and we delineate all the various miracles that happened, we say, Karev yom, asher hu lo yom v'lo laila. A day will yet come that won't be day or night, that won't be light or darkness. There'll be a time of the Geula Shalema, of the final redemption, where miracles like this miracles of when all seems lost, all of a sudden the speck of light will happen so much more often that you won't be able to discern between light and day. God willing, it will be one big story of light, one big story of endless miracles that we'll be able to celebrate. We have a Yom HaAtzma'ut. Thank God we have a Yom Yerushalayim. And it's my hope that the next time I stand here, we'll be able to add to this list many more days. Amen. Have a wonderful Yom Yerushalayim. Amen.